Good morning, everyone. The first reading is from Micah, chapter 6, verses 3 to 8. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember that Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Chittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves, a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, friends, before we have one more hymn and then the gospel reading, I just wanted to introduce the gospel reading so that its full punch can get through to us. I wonder if you have ever been punched or slapped. It's memorable when it happens. I only ever got slapped by Mum once in the face, and I deserved it. But the one that I want to talk about today, just briefly, happened here at the Talbot Football Oval. I was pretty young. I could still play under 15s football, but I was playing under 17s football, and we were playing against Talbot, who were known to be pretty rough. Anyway, I was standing about here. You see that? And there was an all-in brawl that broke out about here. And I just stood where I was there. And there was a guy who was here, right? And their bench was here. So when this fight broke out, this guy ran here, and I thought he was going to the bench, but he wasn't. He ran straight towards me and punched me in the face. And I couldn't believe, and he was a top age, like a really big top age kid, and I was under 15s. It was a very memorable moment, right? I never forget it. Imagine that, never forget it, right? The parable that we're going to have after ought to jar us and make us remember it. But because we so often think of the Pharisees in bad terms, we don't actually get the full punch of this parable. The Pharisees were actually looked up to by so many people. They were looked up to as the spiritual elite. They were looked up to as people that, oh, if only we could be like them. They're the holy ones. They're the ones who have got it all together. They're the ones who are really, on behalf of God, trying to get us all to pull our weight so that God would be happy with us. The Pharisees were the ones that if anyone could have access to God, it was the Pharisees. Tax collectors, on the other hand, were disgusting. They betrayed everybody. So tax collectors worked for the Romans, who were foreign invaders. the tax collectors were Jewish people who worked for the foreign invaders, Rome. And they would normally take one for Rome and two for themselves. They would so often extort people and make them pay way too much. And so they were very rich at the expense of others, and pretty much everyone hated the tax collectors. And if anyone was away from God, it was a tax collector.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Because we don't see Pharisees or tax collectors in our day, the punch is often lost. But make no mistake, there is a punch in this parable. As this was told, people would have been going, what? How is that possible? To start with, they would have been going, yes, the Pharisee is good. Yes, he would stand up and pray boldly. He would be thankful that he wasn't like others, like robbers, evildoers, adulterers. Yes, everyone would agree, we're thankful that we're not like that tax collector. That's, everyone would be agreeing with that. And everyone would be joining in the patting on the back of a Pharisee who was fasting twice a week and giving a tenth of all they get. Good job. That's right. You are right before God, and we look up to you. But on the other hand, when they hear about the Pharisee standing at a distance, if it's even at a distance at the temple, they're probably saying, what are you doing here? How could you be here? And in beating his breast, yes, so you should. You should be repentant. You should be groveling on the ground. But I don't know that God would forgive you, is what people might be saying. The Pharisee prayed about himself, notice in this parable. He reveled in the big things that he was not. And he boasted in the things he did that made him good. The tax collector likewise prayed about himself, but he prayed about his need for mercy. And there was contrition in this tax collector. Now, this is a parable, so it wasn't an actual thing that happened. But nonetheless, this parable tells us a story that saves. This is an amazing parable. In fact, this is my favorite parable. This is one of the parables at Bible College that kept me humble, and it also kept me real. This is a story that saves because it pulls the rug out from underneath our self-righteousness, and it places us at the mercy of God. You see, this parable is important not just for Pharisees to hear or tax collectors to hear, but for every person to hear. Because each in our own right are very good at comparing ourselves to one another. We are very good at it, like that Pharisee in this story. He looked at himself and he looked sideways and he saw someone who was better, he was better than. And so, well, I've got to be right with God because I'm better than him. Have you seen these ads about comparing the market? They encourage us to compare the market. Well, they want to make some money out of us, but to look around and see if we can get the best deal. Well, we are very good as people at comparing the market, looking sidewards and going, oh, well, I'm better than them. I'm better than them. You can always find someone you're better than, can't you? In whatever area in life. And we often use these things that we're better than others to give ourselves comfort that we're going all right. And sometimes, even in the church, we have this idea that because we're better than others, that, yeah, we're further along, so we're okay. But this is a dangerous mistake, because when we think we're better than others, we can become self-reliant. But the truth of the matter is that before God, we are all in desperate need. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, if anyone thinks that they have reason to put hope in the flesh, I have more, Paul says. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So here's someone who had it all together as far as these laws go. And if he were to look sidewards, he would go, I'm all right. In verse 7 of Philippians 3, he says, but what were gains for me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. So Paul, one who carried out these laws with zeal, who could have said, yeah, I thank God that I'm not like these other people. In the end, he came to realize that they were almost like rubbish when compared to Christ. Because he knew all those things that he did do not pay for his sins. They do not make him right with God. No, they don't. The only thing that makes people right with God is humbling themselves before God, and now, through Jesus, receiving the forgiveness that he offers. And so in this parable, we have the one who you think would be saved not being saved or not going down right with God from the hill. And you wonder, well, if they can't be, who can be? Well, the worst person can be. And that's why this is a parable that saves. It's a parable that gives us hope. Because if the worst of us can go home right with God, there is hope for us too. I hope that gives you hope. That the one who looks not sidewards, but upwards, and finds themselves wanting, when they realize that before God's law, actually, all we can do is ask for grace and forgiveness and mercy, for those people, there is forgiveness and they can go home right with God. I don't know where all of you are at today. Many of you have been in church for many, many years, and there might be some people who haven't been in church for long. But do you know you can go home right with God? You can go home righteous with your sins forgiven. Jesus, the one who told this parable, also made a way for us to be right by dying on the cross for our sins and being raised to new life. He conquered death forever. And for those who ask for his forgiveness, who ask for his mercy, who beat their breast and say, God, have mercy on me. Take my sins away through Jesus. Then he wonderfully and remarkably does that. And so then, people who may not be the most righteous people on the outside can now approach God confidently through faith in him. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us approach God's throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I pray that you, like the tax collector, in this story, will humble yourself before God, will beat on your breast and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, but whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. The exaltation that I hope that we all have today is that we go home right with God, and that this indeed will be a story that saves. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we don't have to do stuff to get your mercy. Help us all, we pray, to so look deep into our hearts and know that we need your mercy. And then may we receive your forgiveness and live in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.